Reading of God's Word will be back in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 8, and there's only three verses that we're going to look at this morning in the parable. Remind you last week that we looked at this, and this is one parable described in three ways. And so when you're looking at the lost parables, plural, that are here in Luke chapter 15, it's really one parable pictured in three ways: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then you have the lost son. And so let's look at verse 8 and read through verse 10. And the title of the message is The Lost Coin. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Now, if you notice, verse 8 is a question. It's not a statement. It shows the value of the coin. And the question is basically has the answer in it. What woman wouldn't look for that coin? Look at verse 9. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and God, we pray that this morning, as Christians, Lord, that this parable, Lord, would speak to our hearts and the value that you place on a lost soul. And God, that we would share that same value. Lord, we live in a time where life has been made cheap. And Lord, where there's murder on every turn and every corner. And God, life has been made cheap. But Lord, from your eyes, life is not cheap. And Lord, we pray that we would have the same burden for the lost that you have. And Lord, we pray that if there's someone here today that hasn't put their trust in you, that today they would do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Not too long ago, in fact, a little over a year ago, Teresa and I was cleaning the house. Before Thanksgiving, every year we have a tradition at our house where we clean it spick and span. So if you come right now, it's probably not going to be too clean. No, I'm just kidding with you. It's clean. But we just, it's just a tradition we started years ago, but it's been something that works for us. I mean, we move everything out of the way. We sweep under everything and over the top of everything, and we clean the baseboards. I mean, the house is really, really clean, and we usually host a lot of events in Thanksgiving and during Christmas. Well, this past year, Teresa was cleaning away, and you know how when you're washing stuff and all, and then your ring will start trying to come off. Well, that a very, very expensive wedding ring that I bought her 21 years ago, she decided, and it wasn't really expensive, it was the sentimental value that mattered. But anyway, she took that ring off and was going to put it where she couldn't lose it. And I'm thinking it must have been 6:30 when she took that off and not 6 o'clock, because we still haven't found that ring. We're still looking for that ring. And I mean, I took a flashlight, and we've looked all over the place, and she says, "I thought I laid it right here." Well, it's not that right here. We've looked at that right here a lot of times, and it's still not there. And so somewhere in the house, or my guess, down the drain, is her wedding ring. So eventually we got her another wedding ring, and she loves her new wedding ring. And but we have lost that one, and to this day, we still have a tendency to look for it again. And we're hoping that one day we find that lost ring. Well, in our parable here, Jesus is speaking. We looked last week at the lost sheep. The lost sheep was 1% out of 99. We looked at that lost sheep as an individual that had gone astray and was up on the mountain grazing in places it shouldn't have been. And so we looked at how God seeks the lost sheep. He goes into those that are astray, and he finds the lost sheep, and he brings them back into the fold. And then when you get to the lost coin, we see the value of the lost sheep. It's the value. A coin is valuable. In fact, that's our first point. His first is the losing of the silver coin. There was something lost, and before we go any further, look at the last part of verse 9. Now put yourself into the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every time a person is saved. That last part of verse 9 says, "I have found the peace which I lost." That's the key. Who lost it? The Savior lost that peace. I lost. He says, "I have found the peace which I lost." God lost a lot of souls in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell and fell into sin, and then by nature we fell into sin. But in Jesus Christ, the second Adam, every time a soul is saved by putting their trust in Jesus Christ, and each one of us has to put our trust in Jesus, he says that, I have found the peace which I lost. I have found that which I have lost and have redeemed it back to myself. Jesus saves us and desires that we belong to him. Now, let me explain something about the silver coins. In fact, I've got nine. I hope that's nine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 coins up here on this lectern. And those are real silver dollars. That's 9 silver dollars. But it's supposed to be 10. Now, if you notice, there's a break in the top up here. In the custom of the day, whenever a lady like you and I, and we just talked about wedding rings, when we get married, we symbolically buy a ring for each other. I felt like somebody was standing behind me, but it was this board right here. I had to look. We have a ring by which we symbolize our marriage. But back in the day, they used different customs. And one of the customs that they used is they would make a frontlet, like a headband, and they would take 10 silver coins, and they would drill a tiny hole in each coin, and then they had a little leather thing that they would stick those coins onto that headband, and a lady that was of money that could do this would have 10 silver coins equal to a day's wages. Each coin was equal to a day's wages. So think about it. Her wedding band or her wedding ring that she would wear, some hung them around their neck like necklaces, some wore them around their head like this, and they had the 10 coins. Now you can imagine if she lost one of those coins, how much that meant. But let me share one more thing. When we got lost, we fell apart from God. In other words, we died spiritually. And the Bible says that we have been separated, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've been disgraced, so to speak. In other words, we have shame that is open in the presence of God as long as we are in a sin state, unredeemed. Well, what they would do is if a wife was unfaithful to the husband, then the husband had the right to take one of those coins out of that band that she wore around her head. That's why I've got it separated in the middle. It's like missing a tooth or something. You can't help but to see it. And so whenever she would go through town and that headband would be around her head and they'd see a coin missing, well, that was a disgrace. It was saying that I have been unfaithful to my husband. And so when she lost one of the 10 of those silver coins, she went looking for that coin because it was lost. Now, we're going to see the pictures that Jesus puts in here. And first, go to Romans 3:12. I want to show you something in Romans. And if you can, go there. Acts, Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans 3. Amazing passage. Now, something you can see here is you'll see a chronological order of our lost parable. We have the lost sheep, we have the lost coin, and we have the lost son. Look at verse 10. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous. That's an individual. No, not one. In fact, we looked at that verse last week. That's your lost sheep. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. That's your lost sheep. Verse 11. Then we looked at verse 12 and we see our lost coin. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. Whenever that coin is taken out of circulation, that's what happens with money. When we lose money, money is out of circulation. It's no longer profitable. Money can only have profit if it can be used or retained in a place that it can be drawn from. But money that is lost is unprofitable because it's out of circulation. And he says in verse 12, they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. And then you can go to verse 13 and you see the lost son. Their throat is an open tomb with their tongue. They have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. This is a picture of a sinner that is walking away from God. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And you know, the thing is, that's the picture. All of those verses picture the lost condition of man. So that coin is lost, and that woman is loves the coin because of what it represents, not its value. Jesus loves us, not because you say, well, I'm not too valuable. Maybe you say to yourself, I don't feel like I have much value. I don't feel like I matter much. I don't feel like I make too much of a difference in the world. So what am I to God? I mean, what value would I have to God? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how valuable you are to God. A whole lot more than a day's wages. You're so valuable that Jesus came all the way to this earth. He lived for 33 years on this earth, yet without sin, fulfilling the law perfectly. And you're so valuable, he allowed himself to be beaten. He allowed himself to have his beard plucked, to be struck with reeds, to be spit on, to be mocked, and he is God. He could have said, and they'd all died. That's how powerful he is. He's God. And he allowed himself to be put on a cross. That's how valuable you are to Jesus Christ. That's a lot of value. And the Bible teaches in that parable, and Jesus is teaching it, he says, what woman to question? It's in that first part. There's a question, what woman wouldn't seek for that coin that she's lost? In other words, the value is so great. So look back at Luke 15 again. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp? And we're going to look at that next. Now I want you to think about something just for a minute. John 1:12 says, for those who have received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Now think about something just for a second. When we're lost, have you ever considered... Again, I want to remind you that God places a high value on souls. We live in a world where souls are not valued much anymore. We see terrorism. We see all kinds of killing. We see all kinds of things. Life has been brought down. It has been made cheap. If you watch movies that Hollywood produces, you're going to find out that life has been cheapened. Marriage has been cheapened. It's dirty. It's darkness, what we're watching. You know what those homes were like where that lady was living? They didn't have electricity back then. They had to light a lamp. Apparently the lamp wasn't on because she had to light it to find the silver coin. And the picture there is this. Sin is darkness. Sin is dirty. The floors were made of dirt. And they would take and they would pack, unless you had money and you could have stone floors, and they would pack the dirt. And then they would take in certain areas and they would line it with straw. That was the clean areas. Then they had areas that were just real hardened, packed dirt. And so the Bible pictures her getting a broom and sweeping, looking for the coin, holding a lamp, hoping that the dirt will fly off of the coin or the straw off of the coin and the light will cause that coin to flicker. It's the picture of searching for that coin. And so when we're around people in the world today, do we realize how valuable their soul is? Do we look at them as saved or lost? Do we see what we can do to help reach them for Jesus Christ? Did you know that when you go outside these doors today, you're going to be around future Sunday school teachers, future deacons, missionaries, preachers, administrators, every kind of gift known to man? You're going to be around people that may be lost, but God has a purpose for them when they are found working in his church. You see, that one coin belonged with the other nine. That's the picture. That one coin belonged with the other nine. That's our job, is to help that one coin, with the help of the Holy Spirit, come to find its place with the other nine. That's what we're supposed to do, just as we were helped. I thank God that there was a TV program that I could watch by which I was saved when John Hagee was preaching on salvation through Jesus Christ. I was saved because they invested. Because they desired to reach people for Christ, I was saved. How were you saved? Maybe you were saved in a vacation Bible school and you were lost and you went to vacation Bible school and it was one verse that touched your heart. Maybe it wasn't anything else but that one verse. Or maybe it was this moon, something like that. And you started looking at that moon and God spoke to your heart and reminded you that he hung the moon. And reminded you that he put that into space. You see, there's nothing that God cannot use because he's God. And everything declares his power. So maybe you got saved in vacation Bible school or a revival. Maybe you got saved in church after hearing a message. Or maybe at home, your parent or your grandparent. Many of our grandparents have led their grandchildren to the Lord. What a blessing. Maybe you were led the same way to the Lord. That was the Holy Spirit. That was God searching you out. And that leads us to our next point. Not only the losing of the silver coin, lost in the dark and in the dirt, but you might add another D word, lost in the dwelling, because the coin was lost within the house, not outside the house. But number two is the searching for the silver coin. I love John chapter 16, 5 through 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you turn there, if you can, to John chapter 16. Those are verses that you need to mark, circle, highlight, do something with, because it'll, especially before you go to witness to someone. Now, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's preparing them for his going away. And look at what he says, and then we're going to apply that parable, and I'll show you how it fits. He says, but now I go away to him who sent me, the Father sent him. I'm in verse 5 of chapter 16 of John. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper, or paraclete, comforter, will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Now look at the authority that the Father has given the Son right here. He says, if I go away, I will send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And then look at verse 8. And when he has come, here's what he does. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Now that's what we've been talking about, being lost and separated from God. He'll convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Then he explains those three words. Look at verse 9. He says, of sin, because they do not believe in me. Why do we share the gospel? So that someone will believe. Why do we have vacation Bible schools? So that someone will believe. Why do I preach? So that someone will believe. And so who does that? Who opens the heart? Who opens the eyes? Hebrews 4:13 tells us that the Holy Spirit. Listen, it's God who searches the mind. Now, we can find a lost person all day long. That's easy to do. But you can't search the mind. And what the discovery of being lost is what's difficult. Because most lost people don't realize they're lost. And so the Holy Spirit helps them to realize they're lost. He says of sin, because they do not believe of me. Now, verse 10 says of righteousness. And this is a real simple one. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. In other words, I'm not in a tomb. I'll convict them. The Holy Spirit will convict them of righteousness because I resurrected from the grave. You can't find my body because it's alive, and you'll see me alive on the earth through the people that believed in me. It's real easy to see. So God, every time somebody passes a church, he has the ability, if they see a church sign or even a steeple or a church, he has the ability to remind them of something they heard when they were young. Or maybe a VBS they went to. Or maybe a hymn that they've learned. God has the ability to say, you know what, I'm alive. I resurrected from that grave and you need to do something about that. You need to choose me and have life. And so the third one is, he says, verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. No longer can Satan keep us in a prison house of eternal separation from God. He's been judged at the cross when Jesus said it is finished. Listen, Satan lost the battle right there. Now, we still experience a war down here, but he lost the ultimate battle. He no longer has a hold of our heart when we give it to Christ. Listen, a stronger than he enters in and takes a hold of our heart and seals it until the day of redemption. Isn't that wonderful? He put a lock on it. It's his possession. And he says, Satan, you don't get a key. You're not going to come back and unlock the lock. It's like locking a bicycle to a pole. He's got the key to the lock. And he locked it to the pole of his glory. And we are locked in possession when we believe in Jesus. And because God will not give Satan back what he has redeemed at Calvary. Isn't that powerful? And so we have the searching for the silver coin. Look back at Luke again. And you can see what the lady had to do. Now that woman is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp? Now there's the key. She lights a lamp. And so she's searching for the coin, and it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the searching. And we search with this. In fact, that's on your outline. Searches with the light of Scripture, the blood-bought church, or church, and Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus told us when we get saved that we are to let our light shine because Jesus lives in us. So that's the church. And then the Scripture. The Scripture is considered light. In fact, the Bible says it can make you wise unto salvation. And so here we have the woman in the parable, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Had 10 silver coins, but she lost one. Only God knows how many saved at this very second today. I wonder how many silver coins God has right now. I mean, all the way from Adam to you and I today. I wonder, He knows. He knows exactly how many are saved. And He knows how many of those coins are missing. And He's looking for those coins. He is after those coins. And if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp. You know what the light is? That's the light of Scripture. It's the light of the Word of God. It's the light of Jesus Christ. It's the light of the church. So when we go to witness to people, you've got to carry the light with you. In other words, if we go to witness, and we talked about this last week briefly, but when we go to witness to people and we go up there and we start judging them, well, we aren't doing any good. If we walk up to a lost person and say, well, you sorry old rascal. Well, I'm glad I'm not like you. Well, then there's somebody a little bit better than us standing right behind us. Well, you sorry old rascal. Well, I tell you what, that's not how we reach people for Christ. When we go to people, we tell them that Jesus loves you and that He died on the cross for you, and you're sinning because your nature is to sin because you're lost. You're connected to sin by nature. You're making bad decisions by nature. You're doing the wrong thing by nature because you are lost and you are separated from God. And God loves you and He wants a right relationship with you. And He came and He died in your place. He lived the life perfectly on this earth that you could never live, yet without sin. And then He took His innocent life, His innocent blood, and He voluntarily laid on a cross, and He was crucified to redeem you and to buy you back, to give you a new nature so that you don't want to sin anymore. Y'all, that is the gospel. That's the gospel. So we take the Word of God, and the Word of God goes to work in the heart. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and you'll see that light. And I got to speed up. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. He says, now Paul is making a difference between the law and the Spirit. And I'm going to pick up in verse 2, and he says, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. You can see a Christian when you're around a Christian. You can tell they're a Christian by their fruit. Look at verse 3. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Look at verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. In other words, the old nature is always going to be the old nature. What's that saying? You can put a bow on a, is it on a pig's nose or on his tail? I can't remember. Anyway, you put a bow on a, say that again, sir. A gold ring and a pig snout. And the pig is still a pig. He'll go right back. You can wash that pig, and that pig will go right back to the mud. And I don't blame it. If I was a pig, I'd want to be in the mud. It's a good life. And so it's not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. And a Christian can say, it's not anything that I did. A Christian can say, it's because the Holy Spirit wooed me. It's because somebody shared the gospel with me. And the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to understand that I need a Savior. And oh, I wanted to be rescued. And then I know that my sufficiency is from God. The last part of verse 5. Then he says in verse 6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Now that's everybody. That's not just the preachers and the teachers. That's the ambassadors of Christ. That's everybody that's been born again has been made sufficient to minister the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills. That shows us the letter is the law. And the law is a mirror. And the mirror reflects what's already there. It can't change it. I looked in the mirror this morning. I wanted it to change. But it would not change. It gave me an accurate reflection of what's really there. So I brushed my teeth. And That's what the mirror does. The mirror reflects the dirtiness of who we are, but it cannot correct who we are. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, the law comes to tell us that we're separated from God. The Spirit comes to tell us that we don't have to be separated from God in Jesus Christ. And then verse 8 says, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? It is more glorious. And then verse 14 says in the middle part, well, I'm going to start at the first. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Remember, the Jews struggled with accepting the new covenant. So they stayed in the old. And so the writer is saying, hey, listen. Paul is saying, hey, listen. He's saying the veil is taken away in Christ. You need to be reading that new thing. You need to be listening to that new covenant because he came and fulfilled the law and died in your stead. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. So there's the finding of the lost coin. And it's the Holy Spirit that is the woman in our parable. And it's the light of Scripture and the church and of Jesus that is the lamp that she lit to go find that lost coin. You know, up here we still have 9 coins. And we have one that is missing. But I want to illustrate something just for a minute. If the light is Scripture, Jesus, and the church, I don't know if we can do it, but Frankie, can you turn that these lights right here above us off just for a second? You may have to, I don't know how they turn off. Push in on it, I think. There you go. And that's good enough, Frankie, right there. Now just imagine that that darkness, now we have some in the back that are as lost as all get out right now. I mean, they are in darkness. We're going to do something about that here in just a minute. But they're lost. So that darkness that is around us pictures what the mind is like without Christ. Now, Frankie, turn the light back on. Okay, and let's just pretend for a minute that the light that we see represents the gospel, it represents Jesus, it represents the Word, and it represents the church, the witness of the church. Now, we've hidden that last coin right there, and it's not taped in a Bible, but it's in one of those Bibles in front of you. If you'd look in those red Bibles, just open the first fold, see if you've got a silver dollar in there, and I'll give you that silver dollar, but I want to get it first. Do you have a silver dollar in there? It's inside the Bible. I can tell you it's in the middle section. And it's right as you open it. Did y'all find that? You did find it? Okay. Brother Kevin, would you mind going and getting that silver dollar? And was it Susan Stedry that found it? Oh, Ben McMullen? Ben, you're going to be a dollar richer when you walk out today. Thank you. Now we're going to put that silver coin back where it belongs. Actually, it's a gold coin now. Here's the one. It's gold too. Because after a coin comes to Jesus, after a person comes to Jesus, they're rich now. So we've got a gold silver dollar up there instead of a silver. Because when a person comes to Christ, he has the riches of heaven. And that was our third point. Finding the silver coin. Finding it. And so now that coin, now do you notice something? That woman is not afraid now to put that headband on and walk out into the world. She can walk out with pride. Get the picture? When you come to Christ, the Bible ends in that parable right there the same way the lost sheep did. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Can you just see what's going on in heaven? Can you just see Jesus Christ excited to see the bride in the world today, proudly walking with its symbol of salvation and marriage on our head? That's the picture. And so when we come to Christ, we are rich in Christ. I want to ask you, John 3:16, tonight is Vacation Bible School. And if you're a young person in here or an old person, doesn't matter. The gospel is for all ages. And maybe you know somebody that's not saved that needs to be witnessed to, or maybe you don't have the courage to witness to them, but you know that their heart is vulnerable right now. Will you call us, call the church, call somebody? Because you may not have the courage, but somebody else might have. And maybe you can stay behind the scenes and pray, and you can help in other ways until you are ready to go and witness. But don't just let the value of that coin sit there because you're too scared to witness. Because the soul is too valuable, and we've cheapened the soul. But God hasn't. The world has. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life."